talking about chicken a la king,
mango and garbanzo tabbouleh,
grilled potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola fruit bar. Yeah.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, the podcast where I interview amazing humans with amazing minds, but all we care about is what is in their bellies. My guest today is a fantastic stand-up comedian who has blossomed into a fantastic one-man show-er and a TV host. His one-man show, Homecoming King, is, in my opinion, one of the best comedy specials of the last decade. If you haven't watched it, pause this podcast and go watch, then come back. He was a correspondent on The Daily Show, and now he's the host of his own incredible show on Netflix, Patriot Act. He was just named one of Time's 100 most influential people, but I'm glad to say I knew him way back when we used to do the road together and spent a glorious evening at the Microtel in North Carolina, where I needed to comfort him after he got yelled at by the advisor of the college we performed at. Please welcome my good friend, Hasan Minhaj.
How are you?
Dude, you're the best.
Oh, come on. Do you remember that?
Yeah, man. And I remember when I bombed so bad and I was just having a full-on meltdown. And Michelle Buteau, who's our mutual friend who we love very dearly, she's like, you just need to be funnier. And then I called you and I just started having a bigger meltdown. And then I called you and you gave me the best piece of advice ever. You're like, look, if they think you're unanimously great at these colleges, you're not a good comedian.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's true. Because we get into panderland with the
Because you're performing for freshmen, like their welcome week, and you're like, if you're the guy who crushes at welcome week, you're not a good stand-up comedian.
Yeah, if you start... I got to this point where I had so much material about bad roommates.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not good.
Yeah,
this is not good. Yeah. I've got 20 minutes on roommates.
And then I was doing so many NACAs, and then I took it into my JFL audition.
Yeah.
And like... I did all this like bunk bed material and I just remember just eating shit so bad. Yeah, it was bad.
There's
a little window where I was lost.
Did you go out to eat with the students after the?
No, you told me not to.
I told you not to. That is true.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what they do is after the shows, the students are like, we want to take you out to the best restaurant in town. And it's always like a Chili's or something.
Yeah.
And you have to pretend to be enjoying the meal and enjoying. Although I'm not.
You kicked a lot of you taught me a lot.
About
you just helped me avoid stuff. You helped me not step on a ton of landmines, which was great.
I appreciate that. I'm glad that I could be there for you. That was a crazy game. I think for 3 years I was doing like 160 shows a year.
Yeah.
It was insane. It was too much.
You're out of your mind.
It was too much.
Yeah.
But the money was so good.
Yeah.
But your soul gets crushed.
It's crushed.
By the way, you sent me a picture of your fridge. We're going to start with that, as we always do.
Oh, is that how the podcast
starts? That's how the podcast starts. Okay. You can check out the fridge on my Instagram, @StandUpDan.
You're going to post this on your Instagram?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Yes, the people will see it.
Oh, dude, I thought you were just using this as just like premise fodder.
No.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Great. Now we know. This has not been doctored in any way for us. Okay,
I looked at my phone and I was like, dude, I'm not getting back to texts. Like, let me just do this right now. There's no time like that.
Listen, there's a lot that I like about this. There's a lot that I like about this fridge.
All right, just explain.
Okay, let's start with the positives, and then I got a huge negative.
I mean, there's a lot of negatives.
But the positive is you have a lot of prepared food, like food that you guys make.
Yes, but that's
Are
wife,
you the
Bina.
Cook or is Bina?
No,
like
you know Bina.
Like, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's prepares delightful. It. Yeah. She's amazing.
She's a big foodie.
Huge foodie.
Yes.
Huge foodie.
Okay, so there's
a
lot.
And this has been a huge philosophical debate that I've had with foodies.
I know. We got into it in Japan.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a second.
So what you're looking at right now is like Tupperware life. Like
yes.
Of preparing a bunch of stuff, like, you know, sometimes top of the week, midweek, and just because our schedules are all over the place, especially with the baby.
Yes.
She's with her job. She's running. I'm running. You're able to pop in, make stuff for the baby, make stuff for the adults, boom, and keep it moving.
What's in the jar here?
That's a huge thing of jerk sauce. I love jerk chicken. One of our very, very close friends. One of our first babysitters who took care of our baby daughter.
Okay.
She's from Jamaica.
Uh-huh.
And she made us this jerk chicken. And it was so good. And Bina was like... I was like, oh, this is good. And Bina's like, how do you do this? That's the that's the main difference between us.
Right.
Where I'm just a consumer and she's like a artist. And
yes.
She's like, yeah, I wanna make this. And so she taught Bina how to make jerk chicken and
Oh, so she makes it now.
Yeah.
Oh,
so now that's like a bottle of jerk sauce that's like homemade. And it's really good.
And so the other thing is on the top row.
Yeah.
I'm not so thrilled about this.
What, just the yogurt and stuff just being stacked on top of each other?
I love the yogurt and I love all that. No, I'm not judging the...
aesthetics?
The aesthetics
are awful. Yeah.
I know. Are you kidding me?
Dude. The aesthetics are an indication of where I am in life.
Top row, you've got this... you've got the Belgioso Parmesan cheese.
Okay.
You should like... get like
what is that?
You should get like,
is that bad?
Yeah, it's got like preservatives to keep it good for a long time. Everything else here is like organic shmorganic, and then you've got that stuff. You could do better. Do you guys go to, are you Whole Foods people?
Yeah, we go to Whole Foods. Yeah,
yeah, get there. They have
we go to Eataly. Should we just get the Parmesan?
Oh my god.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you can get it already grated, but this stuff is like, this is like Wahlbaum's.
So this is like the ragu of like,
yes,
Parmesan cheese. Got it.
Absolutely, you can do better than that. But here's the big bone, bro.
What?
You have like 7 jars of Guy Fieri salsa.
Yeah. Yeah. We do.
I'm just going to let it
hang. We do.
I'm going to let it hang. Dude, there's 2 Guy Fieri salsas on the second row, and then there's one on the top row?
Yeah, there is.
There's one on every row?
Yeah, there is.
What?
Yeah, my uncle's Guy Fieri. I don't care. No.
I don't know. Dude.
Vita likes his salsa.
Wait, did they send it to you?
No. I like Vita, first of all, like...
You guys go to the Whole Foods and you're like, hey, do you guys have Guy Fieri salsa? And they're like, absolutely not. And then you go to the bodega next door
and they go, and they're like, yeah, it's $17. And I go, that's worth it.
We got the donkey sauce.
Yeah. And then they go, cash only. And I'm like, all right.
I mean, I've never had Guy Fieri... hot sauce.
I'll tell you quite honestly, I'm not, I don't like sort of liquid hot sauces. I like more of like a pico de gallo. So that's all Bina. But yeah, I'm not going to stop her.
Wow. Oh my God. We need to like get her on the phone.
7 pairs of Air Jordan 1s. It's meaningless and stupid. I'm going to let her get as much Guy Fieri salsa as she wants.
You know, we got into a big debate about meaningless and stupid. So we were in Japan. Yeah. I saw that you were there over Instagram. I was like, yo, I'm here too.
It was one of the best trips of my life meeting up with you.
It was very fun.
It's, when you meet up with someone that you like, that you know, and you're in a new country, I don't know why, it's really
it was fun.
Serendipitous, like it wasn't planned, so there was like no pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I was with, she's Vicky, who's my ex now, she was a chef. She is a chef. She's still alive. We were all getting along pretty well, but I remember there was this one moment. It was like peak. Like she and I were not getting along well. Like we broke up probably.
Weren't getting along during the trip.
We broke up like 2 weeks after the trip. We got into our biggest fight.
After we hung out.
Remember when we went to the Ritz-Carlton or whatever? Where did we go? We went to like
some hotel. We wanted dessert, right?
Yes, we went to like a baller. I think it was like the Ritz-Carlton, and it was beautiful. So, it was like top floor.
Yeah. We hung out for the day.
Jazz.
Eating at different restaurants, and then I've picked this up from my wife, like where she's like, we gotta have dessert, and I used to be like, this is stupid. Yeah, I'm just gonna eat everything I can at Cheesecake Factory, and I'm not gonna get dessert.
Oh my god!
But then, dude, I'm so hack when it comes to food.
I hope that success has brought you different.
No.
You're a waste of success.
I am. I truly am.
Okay.
Anyways, so then we went to go get dessert. So Ritz-Carlton, or whatever it was. It was a fancy schmancy.
It was
hotel,
really fancy schmancy.
And when we go, hey, can you bring me the coffee and dessert menu? It's that little thin menu. And then we just kind of,
Yeah.
So that night, something bad happened.
Oh, well, yeah. Because we were like, this was like our trip to like try to like reinvigorate us. And you and your wife got along so well.
What?
Yeah. And then like you guys left and she was like, you never look at me like a song.
No.
I was like, what the fuck? And we got into like our biggest fight because of the way that you fucking look at your wife.
No, you're like, he's desperate. He's desperate.
But one of the funnier things was I remember you were telling me that you love seeing couples fighting in public.
It's my favorite thing in the world.
Dude. We were fighting in public like every day of that trip.
No, you weren't. You guys were. She was playing soccer in the street.
We
remember?
Put on a face, bro. We put on a face,
man,
for you, bro.
Well, you never. Fuck, man. Your mask is really good.
Ritz-Carlton Tokyo was something else, though. They had amazing. I feel like the thing I loved about Tokyo, aside from the food,
how clean it is and how orderly it is and how.
It's a fantastic place.
It's an amazing place.
Jazz in Tokyo, jazz is like cool.
Oh, yeah.
I love jazz, and jazz there is like, they treat jazz musicians like rock stars. It's not like background music like it is here.
Yeah.
But I love that about it. But we also went to dinner, but I remember you were, I was shocked that you just like weren't into like food, and we were in fucking Tokyo. Yeah.
How are you
I had
so
like,
can I ask you, how are you so cultured? How did that happen?
I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked.
Did you grow up like, going to theater, eating good.
No theater, this and that. But my dad was always huge, huge into food. He went to like college in Switzerland and like was very like European-y when it came to food.
Uh-huh.
And so he got me into that.
Yeah. No, and, but you've always been, you're one of the first comics that I met that wear, that wore clothes that fit. You got to understand, like every, like when we first met early 2000s, it was bad hair, bad clothes. The guys were doing like the swoopy hair,
yes.
Zac Efron thing, baggy jeans.
Yeah.
And you looked like,
you know,
you straight up came out of Zoolander. Well, but then that became, oh, like, yeah, if you wear a size medium shirt, it should be medium. It should fit you.
I do think your body. You know, I think you're right. I did have this thing of like, I hated that everyone would get up on stage and look as if they just didn't care about how they looked. Like that was the thing. Like, I'm wearing my t-shirt, my hoodie.
Yeah.
Nothing fits. That's just the way I'm going to do it. I felt like no one was respecting the craft.
Yeah.
And I mean, I always, lately,
I love
I'm performing like a weekend spot in LA or whatever, I'm always wearing like a jacket or something.
Yeah.
You know, it'll look hip, but like, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like you do the same. You dress up nice too. You dress it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're more. You're
but I kind of got inspired by you, like Ryan Stout. Ryan Stout would wear a suit on stage and stuff like that. I mean, I've just never felt like super comfortable performing in a suit. I just get hot.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm like, but I button, unbutton. Do you know what I mean? Should I wear a belt? But like it's,
No, I get it. But you still, but you look very put together though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I've always, but I got that from liking sneakers and all that stuff as a kid.
Yeah.
Like having, making sure they're crisp and white and they don't get scuffed.
I feel like I have to get you as into food as you are into sneakers.
But that is me compensating for a childhood loss.
Oh, here we go.
So how are you gonna get me to do that with food?
Cue the sad music.
Yeah, I know, but like, so.
Well, what was the food culture like in your house? Loss,
but it's like these were all the sneakers and things that I loved as a kid, and blah blah blah. And now I'm an adult with disposable income, so I can get those things.
Pakistani food culture.
Indian culture.
Yeah. I know you're Indian Muslim, but like it's funny because I was talking to a friend of mine, Indian Hindu, the other night, and we ordered a bunch of food from an Indian place, and it's like the food cultures of India and Pakistan are interesting because they kind of. Meat is the big, main
determining factor. But then you go down south, and then now you have dosas in the mix. You have dosas, you have idli, you have all that stuff.
Right.
Which is like a whole new crepe game and surface area game that you're dealing with.
But Indian Muslims kind of bridge the divide, right?
Yeah, sure. Because like we'll also do veg and non-veg.
Exactly.
That's the big thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Veg and non-veg.
So. Are you big into Indian food?
Yeah, I love it.
Do you?
Yeah, but I love home cooked Indian food.
Yeah.
Whenever you go to a restaurant, they're going way too hard in
it's
the pan.
It's too sugary.
Too sugary, too buttery, too it's too why do I feel like I'm at a wedding?
Yeah.
You know how like when you're at an Indian wedding and they're like everything about like the outfits you're flexing and the food is also like really flexing.
Right.
Like, hey, this korma is really creamy and you just feel awful at the end.
Do you not like the British inspired Indian foods like the CTM?
No, I love CTM.
Yeah.
CTM
is fantastic.
It's so good.
CTM, for those of you.
Has there been an episode on this?
No.
About how like butter chicken is like, yeah, you want to make fun of it, but it's really good and just
chicken tikka masala. It's the pad thai of Indian food.
Yeah.
It's very basic.
Yeah.
It's like, but.
Do people in Thailand not like pad thai? Are they like, why?
Their pad thai is different than our pad thai. Like, our pad thai has become. The thing is, CTM was made in England. So, you know, you had like white people who weren't super into.
Yeah.
You know, the explosive flavor of Indian food, like dumbing it down.
And I hear that's why they added like the creamy, like the butter sort of cream aspect of butter chicken, which
absolutely.
Is why it's so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
And I look like a little kid sometimes at weddings because there'll be like a 5-year-old eating like butter chicken and then I'll be eating butter chicken. It's just a plate of butter chicken and naan. And I look like a 6-year-old.
It's fantastic. Yeah,
but it's really good.
Does Bina cook Indian food?
Yeah, she cooks Indian food. Her Indian food's great. And that's why I like going to people's houses and, getting Indian food. One of the best things that happened to me at a show is this auntie came up to me and gave me goat curry.
Ooh.
It was so good.
Ooh.
Goat curry.
Wait,
it was really
after
good.
Like a...
After a show.
Like a stand-up show?
A stand-up show.
She was like,
please.
And wait, I brought
you stuff. Yeah. And it was a plastic bag and there was a knot at the top of the bag and, you know, and I was, you know, and every
so
part of me was like, don't accept it. Don't accept this. But when I saw the knot in the white plastic bag
oh
that looked
God.
Like it, she had, you know, put it in her car and she had balanced it on the passenger side seat of the car and then
carried it. I was like, yeah, this is it's not drugs.
So good.
She's not gonna try to poison.
Could you
me.
Imagine if that took you out? Like,
I know. Goat curry.
We'll get back to Hassan in a minute, but first. Jerk chicken is named for the marinating process where holes are poked in the chicken to allow for greater absorption of the flavors. So when a Jamaican tells you to stop jerking your meat, he means it literally, unless you're, you know, masturbating while you're marinating. You're masturbating. Gross.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now back to the show.
So we have rapid fire questions that we do this show. I'm gonna throw some at you.
Yeah.
We need a name for this, the rapid fire section.
Okay. What's the theme?
It's just like 10 questions, food related.
Yeah.
That are like, I automatically go to quick fire, but that's like we do that on Top Chef. We can't.
Yeah.
So I don't know it's the sizzle. I don't know.
No, don't do that. Don't do the sizzle.
All right, rapid fire questions.
Yes.
One, earliest food memory.
Earliest food memory? I don't know my earliest, but I'll tell you my most distinct. I remember coming home from school, and I would open up the freezer and eat toaster strudels. It was one of my favorite things.
Really?
Yeah, I love toaster strudel. Fuck Pop-Tarts.
Wow.
Toaster strudels are so good. You open it up, and I had a whole little process. You put it in the toaster, it'd come out, and then I would frost. They would give you like the frosting packet. I'd frost it, then there'd be about 15% left, and I would just straight up eat it.
Oh my God, I'm disgusted.
Yeah,
you're disgusted.
Toaster strudels are great.
You're disgusted.
And if I could get them, and if they're looking for a sponsor, I'll gladly sponsor you guys.
Patriot, I bought. Brought to you.
Brought to you by Toaster Strudel.
I love it.
I'm not bigger than that.
I feel like number two might be the same as number one. What is your death row meal?
Death row meal?
Yeah.
One of my favorite meals to have after. Actually, I would love you to tell me this. What's the best burger? In New York, I love an amazing burger, French fries, and milkshake.
Do you like upscale burgers or like downscale burgers?
Just like downscale burgers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because
so Schnippers has this amazing turkey burger with jalapenos. I feel like it's such a Desi burger because it's turkey, pepper jack cheese, grilled onions, grilled green peppers, with like a chipotle mayo. It's really, it's awful for you with chipotle mayo on a wheat bun because you just want. I don't want the bun. Yeah. So then I'll do that. Sweet potato fries.
Okay.
I'll get an extra side of chipotle sauce, and I'll get the Oreo shake.
I've never been.
It's great.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it like?
It's right next to the New York Times.
Oh, okay.
42nd and 8th. It's big old. So there's the big New York Times, and there's the Schnippers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll fuck around and go there.
Really?
I'll do it to like treat myself.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know people are like, "Are you crazy? You're going to Times Square?" I'm like, "I'm going into Times Square. I'm gonna hang out with Elmo and go to Schnippers." And then go to them.
It's worth getting mobbed in Times Square to go get this turkey burger. I'm not usually a big turkey burger guy, but I'll give it a shot.
I mean, yeah, turkey burger. I like turkey burger over.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the? Oh, this I'm very curious about.
What's up?
What is the best high end meal you've ever had?
Did the meal we have was that high end?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
We went to like a little fish joint in like Tokyo.
Yeah.
You're such a man of the people. You're a man of the people.
Oh, Bina will tell you this story. It was our 3-year wedding anniversary. We went to Morimoto and they have the preset menu.
Yes, omakase.
Dude, fuck that. This is my Bill Burr rant where I go, dude, fuck that. It was like they give you 9 things. You don't choose. You don't choose.
No.
By the way, you think we live in a democracy? No, it's a straight up dictatorship.
Oh, and yes.
It's a dictatorship.
You're in North Korea when you walk into the sushi restaurant.
There's no adjustments. There's no, all of these like Michelin, whatever. They go, no, you trust us.
Right.
I take care of you.
Yes.
Hey, no.
Yes.
No.
Let yourself go.
No.
You have to let go
I
of the control.
I hate strong man leaders.
You're a control freak. You got to let go.
No,
let it happen to you.
No.
Oh my God! So Morimoto omakase.
So then it was all building up to this thing called the turbo. The turbo is like a type of chicken. I'm not chicken fish. I'm such an idiot. Okay, so okay. Type of fish. They bring out the turbo.
Oh yeah, T U R B O T.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like this white fish. It smelled
so bad.
Oh my God.
I was like, Bina, I'm going to throw up. And so I ran downstairs and like, and if you've been to that restaurant, there's like three different levels. I had to go all the way down to basement level
just
to get to the bathroom. I thought I was going to throw up. I didn't throw up. It was just the pungent smell that got me.
Wow.
But I was like, you know, hold, like don't, you know, don't just yak right now. I was able to like compose myself. Then I ran back upstairs and I was like, I'm going to do it. And she's like, don't do this. And I'm like, I have to tell them I cannot eat this. Like, I'm just not going to be able to eat this.
And
I'm not going to be able to eat
this. Did you?
So then here, I go, hey, is the guy comes over and this is where I like panicked. And I was like, it's probably undercooked, right? Or it's just not fully prepared, maybe.
Oh,
and they're like, oh, well, yeah, maybe we need to give you another one. And I, no, you don't have to give me another one. They're already like back there, and then you bring out another turbo, and I'm. It was the worst. It was the worst way to have our anniversary dinner. And if you just go up to Bina and you're like, hey, how was your turbo? She'll just die.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was awful.
Turbo's probably one of the most expensive fish you can get these days.
Yeah, and then I got the check, and I'm like, what is this? I paid for this. I deserve it. If my dad was there, he's like, you deserve this. Awesome.
Oh my God.
You signed up for this.
Wow. So no more. You would never do like a 3-hour sit down.
We did another one. We took my brother-in-law and sister-in-law to Gramercy Tavern.
Oh, I mean,
and they have like
amazing restaurant.
Yeah.
And they're not as precious about their like, you must sit down and open your gullet and let us put in whatever we want.
Yeah. But it was like two and a half hours. But I do love the... they do let you mix and match. They don't just let you like, no, this is it.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the Old Testament. Like you do not mess with the Holy Scripture here.
Right.
And I also love the variety of the desserts they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're solid. That is consistently one of the best upscale restaurants in New York City.
And the vibe is really good too.
And they're like under the radar. They're never like too preachy about how great they are.
No.
But like I've never had a bad
meal. No.
There.
And this is all because of Bina. Look how good, like, look how cool I sound.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. You know all the places.
I know nothing. I go to Schnippers in Times Square and Schnippers. I was able to drive it. Yeah.
Schnippers.
Yeah. And people are going to so make fun of me. They're like, Schnippers. That's where, like, we get that catered on, like you know, something days at work. Places are good.
On basic Tuesdays
at
work.
Yeah. We get the fish tacos from there and it's awful. And I'm like, no, you have to go there.
What kind of food do you guys get here at the show?
I mean, people leave for lunch. Yeah.
People leave for lunch.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a crew when we're filming, there's crew lunch in the crew area. And then there's all these like different, like, let me just, there's a bunch of like companies, third party companies that come and cater food for.
Do you have like a weird, like every day I need to have the same thing?
I eat the same thing every day.
What, really? What is it?
Yeah. I eat an egg sandwich from Rex, which is a great coffee shop right over here. I get three egg whites, 7 grain. Cheese. The cheese is great. All melted together.
Is this like a bodega type?
Yeah. It's kind of like a bodega coffee shop. It's called
okay.
Rex.
Rex. R-E-X.
Yeah,
okay.
R-E-X. It's great. On 7-grain bread with salsa. It's the best. I have that. And then over here at Hudson Market, there's like this little, they have like a little bibimbap stand. So I'll just get the bibimbap. Oh, man. You're laughing at me, man.
This is amazing. No, because usually when people become successful, they have like weird food. Like I remember I listened to this podcast that, what's his name? Why can't I think of the late night host on ABC?
Jimmy Kimmel.
And he was like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's like very like blue collary, like the way he comes off. And he's like, yeah, I have a sous vide piece of salmon every day for lunch.
What?
And then I have, six and a half ounces of filet for dinner. It's like, I was like, wow, you've changed from, you know, your days on Win Ben Stein's Money. But
man,
you're like... You're like, finally, I can eat like a kid every day.
Yeah.
Okay, so bibimbap from the supermarket in the afternoon.
Yeah, and I'll get it with double chicken, and, you know, it's
of course.
Great.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah,
you made it, bro.
Yeah, because like they're going to just fuck around and give you way too much rice, and then they'll give you this much chicken, and you're like, come on, dude, don't play me.
Oh my
God. So I'll do that, and then for dinner, I'll eat dinner at home. I'll eat some of that. Guy Fieri salsa with jerk sauce.
Oh my God.
I don't know, man. What do you want?
You know,
you can't change, man.
That's who you are, you know. I'm never going to spend $500 on sneakers and you're never going to spend $500 on a meal.
Yeah. I'll do it with you. We'll go out.
I'm down, dude.
I would love to do that with you.
What if I did a what if we did a cooking thing where you really love the food and you're describing all the textures and whatever, and I go, yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like Cinnamon Toast Crunch when you add a little bit too much milk and it's kind of soggy, and you're describing like a super like elaborate dessert.
No, it's actually a tiramisu made with aged mascarpone cheese.
Yeah, but you know if you had like Cinnamon Toast Crunch but you added like Frosted Flakes to it?
Nope,
it's that. It's too sweet.
Nope, that's not what it is. That is not what it is.
Do you still hold the premise, and do you still hold that true that you told me in Japan, where you go, I vividly remember great meals?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
I can take you through like from beginning to end.
The same way you have a great set?
Even more.
No, right? Come on.
Yeah.
No way.
No.
You remember you crushing on Last Comic Standing more than you, or the first time you did Premium Blend or all that stuff way more than the meal that we had in Japan.
But here's the thing. I feel like when you have an insanely good set, you also have that moment of like, you get off and you're like, what just happened? Like you know, like you come back down to earth.
Yeah.
Whereas for this, I'm like, I'm sitting, I'm focused, my senses are like buzzing, they're on all cylinders. I don't know, for some reason, I feel like I have like momentary amnesia after like a fantastic set, like, cause it's like, I was just like vibing and present and whatever, but with the meal, I don't know, man.
Really?
It gets stored in my neurons, really, really like etched in there.
Okay.
Okay, this one's a great question for you. Best low-end meal you've ever had?
Didn't I just name Schnippers?
Schnippers.
No. Best low-end meal? I would probably say during one of my trips, you know, back home to India, just having like food at a dhaba, just like a local, just side street thing. Yeah.
Oh, I can see that.
You can get great food.
I've never been to India. I want to go.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I want to go for food.
You totally should go.
I'm not into seeing so much destitute and like homelessness and stuff like that kind of bums me out.
Right.
But you're an animal, so it's okay for you. You're like, they're untouchables. It's what they were born in. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, it's what I know.
No, I know. Yeah. No, I'd still love to make it there. Mm-hmm. What is your restaurant pet peeve?
You know what? If we're going to start with bread and the bread is like dry and cold and not worth it, it's just a really bad, it's like a bad opening joke. You're
absolutely.
Like,
eesh. It's a bad omen.
Yeah, it's a bad omen.
I agree.
You know what I'm talking about,
100%.
Right?
100%.
What's that restaurant peeve?
Yeah, man. Put him on blast. Put him on blast.
No, this is the restaurant where the bread is amazing.
Okay.
Quality Italian. They'll bring you this thing, and it's like four little baby loaves.
Ooh.
And they'll bring it, and it's super hot.
Yeah.
And Bina will be like, you need to stop eating it, because they'll just keep bringing you more.
Oh, man.
And it's great. Yeah.
Actually, I had a meal last night. I went to the Polo Lounge, Ralph Lauren's restaurant.
Oh, it's a restaurant?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Okay.
It's actually very good. You would love it because, I mean, if you ever needed to go to like an upscale-y place, you should go there because they just do basics.
Okay.
It's nothing like fancy. Actually, I had a fucking $20 hot dog.
What?
That was delicious.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway, they have this bread thing in the beginning that's like a little cheesy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was the best like beginning bread I've ever had.
Does food anchor your day? It feels like it anchors your day. It's the anchor.
For my days, not really. Like, I eat pretty simply every day, but if I'm traveling, it absolutely anchors my trip.
So those are the monkey bars for what you got to do.
100%.
You're going to Hawaii. You're not going to the road to Hana. You're like,
right.
I'm not getting up at 4:30 and climbing mountain. You're not doing that.
I try to do both, but
really,
only if the food itinerary allows for it.
There's two things. I was about to say you and Bina changed my life. Okay. I can't put you in the same weight class as my wife, but I learned this from you and I learned this from my wife, primarily from my wife. You guys did get me to open up in regards to food and travel.
Yeah,
I have the same problem my dad has, where, dude, if I'm left to my own devices, I'm gonna be in sweatpants at home with CNN on, just shouting random opinions
at the screen.
And be like, hey, I'm super happy here. Like,
yeah.
I have the fridge, the air conditioner's on. I'm barefoot. I'm twiddling my toes in the carpet. Well, and you guys got me to be like, no, you need to go to Japan and you need to go see the world.
And it's so great.
It is really great.
Oh,
and
I
those are the
that.
Things you'll never forget. I will never forget our trip to Japan.
That warms my heart.
Yeah.
Bina's always, I follow her on Instagram. She's always like in another land. Like, she goes by herself sometimes, it seems.
She'll go with her girlfriends.
With her girl crew. Yeah, they went to Italy or something. I think they went to Milan. Was it Milan?
We were in Italy.
Oh, that was you guys in Italy.
We were in Italy.
I don't know where she travels extensively.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was a good pet peeve. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
You don't, number six, you don't really drink, but it's favorite drunk food, but you don't really.
I don't drink.
You
yeah.
don't drink.
I don't drink.
All right. We're going to skip that.
Favorite like late night food?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Favorite late night food, and I think Dollar Slice is great.
Oh, yeah.
I love Dollar Slice.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
53rd and 6th kind of fell off. Halal Cart. That was like my go-to when I first started coming to New York for stand-up around 08, 09.
Yeah.
I would go like, oh, I got to go to Halal Cart.
Halal Cart was great. Always a line around the block.
Yeah.
Now they've expanded. There's one in LA.
It's like, too much. And, yeah. And like the quality went way down. And I remember after I got my job at The Daily Show, I remember I got hired. And then that I just had like a Southwest flight back to LA. So I'm like straight up in my suit that I auditioned in. I went to 53rd and 6th and had it. I had the mix, you know, chicken and whatever gyro, and had it with the Coke. It was so bad, and I'm like, I'm not doing this again.
Oh, what a bummer!
Yeah, it was bad.
I love that the quality was your celebratory meal.
It's all yeah.
Like for me, if I ever get a gig or whatever, I'm like, we're going out to a $300 sushi dinner.
But who introduced you to this? Someone has to introduce you to this.
I'm telling you, I think my dad was super into food when I was growing up. He was like very very into good restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, it kind of rubbed off on me, and I. And also,
do you remember the first nice restaurant someone took you to go, this is what you're supposed to do? I feel like you would be so great at this. You need to take someone, like someone in their early 20s to go get their first suit.
Okay? Yeah.
Get a watch. I don't wear watches because I don't know what I'm doing.
That also, we also got into that conversation.
Right. And then third would probably be, like this, how to like choose a nice place to eat.
Although
I love that about you though, man. Don't like you shouldn't shy away from that. I remember like even in like 09 when I first moved to LA, you had a nice car. There was so but it was like, you know, like it was a Porsche. It's like a really good car. And you're like, no, this is an amazing car. It's not like you didn't just put a car on rims and you're like, look, I got a, you know, a Chrysler 300.
For everyone listening, I do enjoy an In-N-Out burger. Okay. I am not a pretentious guy who just wears Rolexes and drives Porsches.
By the way, I like have even when I did Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, like that was my big thing with Jerry, where I'm like, these are meaningless and these are pointless, and I don't know why you also collect watches. Like, there's so many digital amazing watches. And,
oh my god!
Yeah, we got into it. Yeah, and then I was also like, baseball sucks. Basketball is way better than baseball. I'm just telling you objectively at the pace at which the game moves. You can watch it as a newcomer and be like, wow, it's really high scoring and amazing. I get it. They're up, running up and down. Steph is launching from half court. Swish.
Yeah.
He's dancing and shimmying like on the way back. My dad would watch that and be like, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. No, baseball sucks.
And
I
if you're like a true mathematician of the game, you'll be like, yeah, Kyrie's body movement and his body control is insane.
I'm going to pretend like I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not a big
I would love to.
Guy.
What I would do is I would take you to a basketball game.
What do you normally eat when you go to the basketball games?
I mean, this is bad, but I drink so much coffee throughout the day. I just need a coffee because at the end of the day, a game will be on at like 7.
Yeah.
So if I go to the game, I'm going to have coffee. That way people are like, why do you want to be wired? I'm like, I just want to remember. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to feel groggy.
So you're not sitting there and eating a meal.
No.
I go nuts now when I go to sporting events.
Why?
Because I don't really care about the game.
Yeah.
But now there's like a lot of really fun upscale food options,
at
the Barclays Center.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, it's like a food court.
No,
and there's also a game going on.
I don't want nachos. It's like something happens. I want to jump up. I like yelling and talking and being annoying. Yeah.
Oh my God. I would love to see you throw your nachos.
Yeah. I went to a Laker game one time. Like my Bina took me to go see the Lakers and the Kings. And she bought tickets in the lower level. And so it was the fourth quarter of the game's tied. I just started standing up, and people in Staples were like, will you sit down? And I'm like, no, I'm not sitting down. It's the fourth quarter of the game's tied. We have 12 minutes. You're going to die. Get up.
Yeah, LA people are not they're not like nutty sports fans.
Yeah, just like drinking Dasani and just like popcorn. Get up.
Talking about what they read on Deadline.
Yeah, it's stupid.
No, I'm with you on that.
I hear Dodger games are great, so I got to go to a Dodger game.
They are fun. I went to one.
Yeah.
They have, although their food options, I was not thrilled. Now, if you're like a new stadium, any stadium actually, and you don't have like good, like we're done with, we don't all need shitty food. Like people have better tastes now. We like good food. Give me an option for a bowl of ramen at the baseball game.
Really?
Yes. Barclays does
it. But how do you provide it at scale?
I don't know, man. They
Can
do
I ask
it in
you
Japan.
One more thing too?
What?
Can great things be egalitarian?
Yes, absolutely.
But why is everything great in culture built on scarcity. Why?
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that what has happened...
You want Hamilton tickets? Scarcity. You want...
I agree.
You want to eat at the hot new da-da-da-da-da restaurant? Good luck getting a reservation.
I agree. And I know...
It's no different than choking supply and demand on sneakers. It's completely irrelevant.
Yes, but... I can get a beautiful pair of sneakers that are $70, yes, and they don't have to be Yeezys, which I don't know how much those are. I think they're expensive.
Sure, yeah, they're expensive. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just like everyone is able to afford an In-N-Out burger, which is a fantastic burger, yeah, and it's like natural meat, all natural, this and that, and it's great. It's great. It brings me as much pleasure as like, you know, a really good upscale meal.
Yeah.
But does that mean that everyone should be able to sit down and enjoy a four-hour meal or needs to? I don't think so. I think it's, you know, it's luxurious things that we do, you know.
Do those restaurants build their brand on scarcity? Like, we only seat 10 people. We only seat 15 people. Hero dreams of sushi. It's only 8
I think
people,
the expensive ones do. But you know what? There's actually the cheapest.
The reason why I'm saying this to you is because we're both comics. And to me, comedy is a very egalitarian thing.
Yeah.
We want everyone to be able to watch it, and we want to make everyone laugh.
Yeah.
I think especially in this day and age, and both you and I, given our background too, like, we want to be international comedians. I want everyone to be
Absolutely.
Able to watch the show and enjoy it. I'm not trying to make it a thing of like, oh, only certain people will get it.
And yeah.
No.
There and
so I believe in that philosophy, but does that apply to culture, to other things in culture?
Well, look, I think just the same as people should be able to enjoy comedy everywhere, like, not everyone can necessarily understand Shakespeare. Or, you know,
right,
there's different levels of the art,
yeah,
whatever. I think it's the same with food, you know? It's like, there is a restaurant in Singapore, which is the cheapest one-star Michelin restaurant in the world.
Uh-huh.
It's like the Singapore chicken shack that the guy makes, like, Singapore chicken and rice. It's a dollar. It's a dollar. And his whole thing, when he got his Michelin star, he was like, I'm not changing this because I feel like everyone should be able to have a Michelin star meal.
That's amazing.
So cool.
That's so great. Are you going to have him on the podcast?
If I go to Singapore, hell yeah. Couple more questions.
Okay.
Favorite celebrity chef?
Favorite celebrity chef? David Chang. I just like what he's about.
Interesting.
I got a chance to meet him. I have not even eaten the food.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I went to his thing at, I met up with him at, he opened a thing in Hudson Yards.
Hudson Yards,
but
yeah.
Just like, we were just talking. I did his podcast in the same room.
But get out of here.
Yeah, so I had never eaten at any of the restaurants. And I told him, I'm like, hey man, I'm going to be quite candid with you. I have never eaten at Momofuku. I have no idea what that is.
Right.
But I just like your vibe.
Yeah, you know what he is to me?
What is he?
He is my halal cart.
What does that mean?
It means I loved him when he had one place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the expansion went a little too far.
How many restaurants does he have?
He's got an empire now. He's all over. He's got a place in Toronto and Australia, everywhere.
Really?
I love what he did for food, though, because he really started getting people to think about food differently. And, you know, especially Korean food.
Oh, interesting.
I actually just went to his restaurant in L.A. It was very good. But yeah, man, I liked when he had that one place and he was struggling and he couldn't pay the rent. And
really?
He made it happen. Like, I loved his food back then.
Is that always like, it's like a musician's first album?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just, again, I have not eaten at Momofuku. I ate at there's a little sandwich shop in the Hudson Yards because the restaurant hadn't opened, and then me and Bina went and we talked with him. I just love, it's just like when you talk to a great comic, you know how like when you're in a green room and you're just like, you're riffing and you go, this person's really interesting.
Yeah.
They're definitely funny.
Yeah.
Because they're incredibly compelling. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, he's a great guy. I mean, I love what he's done for food, for sure. Number 9, we have two more. Desert island food. You're trapped on a desert island. You have what? It could be a type of cuisine or an actual food.
Desert island food. I'm on the desert island. I need sustenance. It's got to fill me up.
And you got to enjoy it because you're going to be eating.
And I got to enjoy it. I would say dal chawal with chicken. Dal's like a staple. Chawal's rice.
Right.
So you mix those together. And
dal is lentils, right?
Lentils, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would do kali dal. So there's like black dal. There's like yellow dal and there's black dal. I like the black dal. The dal, you can make it like spicier.
Okay, got it.
And heartier.
So
yeah, with chicken.
You keep it real.
Yeah.
You keep it real
yeah.
On the desert island.
Uh-huh. And then I would have a banana. I love bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep it safe.
I'm really whack.
You really are. Oh, no, it's okay. It's what I love about you. You really haven't changed. You know, people say don't change. I want you to change, but you won't change. And last question. We like to end on a negative. What food you can't stand eating?
Food I can't stand eating? Cold soup.
Ugh. Cold soup, like it'll a gazpacho?
They'll be like, here's a split pea soup, and it's chilled. I'm like, ugh. We went to a fancy restaurant, and they brought a split pea soup that was chilled. It was gross.
Yeah.
It was so gross.
I think I'm with you on that.
I was like, ugh.
It
was so nasty.
It's like throwing it in the microwave.
I had it, and I ate it, and I was mad at you. You weren't even there. I was like, I hate Dan.
He made me do this.
He made me do this.
Oh, man.
Is this culture? Why am I being punished?
Oh, man. I'm with you. The cold soups, very rarely. If like a melon gazpacho on a summer day, I can get down with. Yeah. But like, yeah, I'm with you, dude. That is... That is a good food that you can't stand. I like that.
Yeah. It's
I haven't heard that yet.
It. Yeah.
Hassan, thank you so much for giving us so much time.
Come on, man. I love you, man.
This was so much fun. It's so good to learn more about how much you don't give a shit about food.
Yeah.
Awesome, brother. Thank you so much.
Love you too, man.
This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven. Executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. Special thanks to Jordan Aaron. To see pictures of Hassan Minhaj's fridge, information about the restaurants mentioned in the episode, and more, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at StandUpDan. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan, and interstitial music by Breakmaster Cylinder. If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.